And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do it. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome into the latest That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton, a.k.a. SEC Mike, joined as always by my cousin Shane Sheridan, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What's going on, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy. Doing good, brother. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing better than Mr. T-Bangs.
back in the news, man.
For, you know, those that don't know what we're talking about, this was last week. Mr. T-Bang, who his real name is Devontae Zachary, is a alleged gambler down in Gainesville. He was the one that the Florida players tried to attack with a frying pan. And apparently this was not a one-time, one-off incident. Apparently him and the Florida football team have been kind of going at it for months now. What do you make of this wild story?
Well, I just saw the article you put out today on it, and it seems like it's got so many layers, everything from the enterprise rental car discounts to airsoft rifles. You know, it's just, this thing just keeps snowballing, and I'm interested, is there going to be any disciplinary actions off this thing, or is this just one of those crazy stories that is going to be talked about for a few more weeks?
Yeah, it's interesting because this has obviously all happened previously. This is not exactly stuff that happened this week or anything, but as more details come out, I think this is going to give more ammunition to people that are going to investigate this. And the key thing you said there was the rental cars. For those who have not read the story, this T-Bang guy, apparently he's friends with Florida tight end Ciante Lewis. And T-Bang apparently works for Enterprise Rent-A-Car and was getting discounts to the players on rental cars, which would be an NCAA violation. It's unclear if he can prove these allegations, but that's what he's telling the police. Go ahead.
Let me ask you. I just want to know what players are involved. I mean, as far as starters, how many starters are involved?
Well, that's unclear because last week there was about 12 guys named, but that was apparently in a big scrum type deal. So I'm not sure, you know, I don't want to speculate on exactly who's involved, but this story does mention Tyree Cleveland. He's one of their Florida's best receivers.
Yeah.
Apparently he got knocked out at a nightclub by one of T-Bang's guys. That's in a police report. Another big-time receiver, I wouldn't call him a starter, but a big-time playmaker, Kadarius Toney. He's apparently involved, and in this story it says he's riding around with, you know, these players were charged with having the air guns last week, but apparently Kadarius Toney has a real rifle in his car, and according to the police report, he has that to protect himself from the Gainesville locals. So I don't know what to make of that, but it clearly sounds like he's maybe concerned that T-Bang or his guys or something are out to get him.
Well, I mean, the fact that, you know, in that article it talked about, you know, he had an actual rifle in the backseat. He tried to elude officers, but they were released at scene, you know, which, you know, I don't know. That just sounded a little fishy there, you know. Here you got a football player riding around with a weapon. I don't know if it was loaded or not, but just to release that sight, you know, if that would have been Joe Blow, this thing, you know, he'd have been in jail. So I don't know if they're going to dive into that one at all, because that just happened, didn't it?
Well, during this offseason, I'm not sure the particular dates here, but it's an interesting situation to be sure. And I don't know, have you seen this footage put out by let's see, who's this put out by? This is put out by the Tampa Bay Times, and it shows the players running around with their airsoft guns. Have you seen the video?
No, I haven't. Now, this isn't the Friday night and they got, you know, all their costumes on, is it?
No, we'll get to that one. But this is what apparently the police were called for the original story that broke last week about. So these guys had the air guns, essentially.
Yeah.
But they look like machine guns. You know, they're BB guns shaped like an AK-47s.
Right.
And someone has a video of it, I guess the person that called the police. And, you know, you got a bunch of guys running around. It's dark out. Hey. I mean, they're just lucky that, you know, obviously you have the right to have a BB gun. That's not illegal by any means. But if there's a group of several of you running around with those things in the dark, you know, if a police officer rolls up on that, I think he could clearly make a mistake and you know, just make a situation turn ugly quickly, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what Dan's doing, but he seriously needs to. I mean, he needs to get these boys in a room, and you know, if you've got anything that resembles a weapon, you know, he needs to kind of have a zero tolerance right now, because it's kind of gotten out of hand. He needs to rope these boys in and you know, end this before it gets worse, you know. And granted, it's been the off season, you know, the camp's about to start up, you know, this will get them busy, they'll be in class, you know, so hopefully they'll stay out of trouble. But you know, this thing just keeps getting bigger and bigger every time you look at Florida news.
Yeah, and to kind of go off what you said there, you know, this was an unrelated incident, but one of Dan Mullen's highest rated players in his only Florida signing class was a guy named Justin Watkins, who looked like he was going to be a big time player for Florida. He just got he didn't necessarily get dismissed, but he's left the program after two arrests and one involving allegedly beating a woman. So, like I said, that's unrelated, but you know, when these incidents keep piling up, it kind of goes to your point that, you know, Mullen maybe need to lay down the law a little bit and just kind of get his guys to realize that they're definitely being watched right now. And
oh yeah,
you know, with fall camp starting right around the corner, that may be the best thing for Florida, because they need to get things under control in a hurry there.
Exactly, and start having these night trainings every night, you know, so at least you know where they're at. They're in the middle of that stadium and they can't get in any trouble.
Now, their social media team, I think, got in a little bit of trouble with this Gators After Dark video. That's the one you were referencing. What were your thoughts on seeing the Florida Gators there in Halloween costumes lifting weights?
I thought there for a second Butch Jones was on the sideline doing some of his dumb shit. That's the first thing I thought of, because it was just so corny. You know, I don't know. It's kind of like what we were talking about yesterday. It's like Dan's trying to be cool and trying to get, and that's your go-to, is to let them wear a Halloween mask. You know, I don't know. Some of the kids looked like they were having fun, but as a spectator, you know, I just thought it looked horrible.
Yeah. And the reaction online has not been very kind to
it. No, the comments on Twitter alone are priceless.
like you said, like it does look like the dudes are having fun, and I'm all for it. And you know, when you get your guys in, you gotta let them have loose, especially during the off season conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe if you film it and maybe get a couple opinions before you throw it on Twitter, because you're gonna get destroyed if you keep putting out content like this.
Oh, I could just see Dan approving it, though. You know, I could say, "Oh God, this looks fun." Yeah, put it out there. You know, oh, they're gonna love this. You know, I could just see it. You know, I don't know, man. Here's Tennessee. We went to the pool, so nobody got in trouble there. So,
yeah, Tennessee put out the pool hype video.
Oh yeah.
I guess they're closing down the summer training camp coming up, so. Hopefully there was no AK-47s in the pool there in Knoxville.
Exactly.
So speaking of Dan Mullen, one interesting note I wanted to touch on quickly. One of his former quarterbacks there at Mississippi State is a guy by the name of Cord Sandberg. I believe he was a member of the 2014 signing class.
Yeah.
He was one of the top quarterback prospects in the nation, but instead of playing at Mississippi...
What's his name?
His first name is Cord, like extension Cord, and his last name is Sandberg, so sounds...
Didn't he invent Facebook or something?
Sounds a little made up, but this is an actual guy. He decided to play baseball, minor league baseball instead of college football, and after a couple of years and, you know, not getting it done, I guess, in baseball, he's coming back to football, and he just committed to Auburn over LSU, so... It's interesting, you know, this guy's not going to come in and unseat Jared Stidham by any means, but it's an interesting prospect for Auburn down the road. And yet again, Gus Malzahn getting another quarterback, not from the high school ranks. This is like his third or fourth quarterback in a row he's got via transfer. Any thoughts on what this says about Malzahn and his quarterback evaluations?
I don't know. I just it kind of drives me nuts because, you know, you would think the quarterback is the most important position on the football team, that you've been eyeing some of these kids since they were juniors, sophomores, you know, looking for the one, recruiting the one, yet he's getting these transfers that have played at other places. You know, I don't know. It's just kind of – it's unusual. I knew that he had a couple of quarterbacks in a row that weren't straight out of high school. But I didn't realize it was that many until you said it.
Yeah.
Didn't they get the last chance you got, too?
Right. Didn't he's another one. So we can go down the list real quick. But, of course, Cam Newton was his big one. Malzahn was the offensive coordinator at that time. But Cam Newton obviously signed with Florida and had to go to junior college.
Right.
Then you mentioned the last chance you got, John Franklin III, who – they signed as a quarterback. And anyone that watched that last chance you, I mean, he wasn't even a good – junior college quarterback. He had no business in the SEC.
No, it's like the coaches didn't even watch the season, you know, because I could have told you about three in that he's not your guy.
No. Nick Marshall was another one who they had a lot of success with him. You know, obviously he wasn't much of a passer, but they were just lethal running the game in the run game. And he came from Georgia. He was dismissed from Georgia. I think he was one of Mark Richt's guys, got caught stealing. And, of course, Jared Stidham now is a Baylor transfer. So, and it's not like Auburn isn't going out and getting high school quarterbacks. They are, but for whatever reason, they're not panning out. And, you know, I guess
it kind of sounds to me like, you know, he struck gold on this first quarterback, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to have him on his team and then, I don't know, it just seems like that's what he's looking for. Like, hey, I did it once. I found the diamond in the rough, and that's kind of his mentality, and it's not working, you know, because he's really been striking out. Of course, again, Stidham, you know, he may turn some heads this year. He may be decent, but it's just kind of, I don't know, it's just kind of wild that he does not prefer to get a young quarterback in and try to – it's like he wants the older route to have some – what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of like not seniority, but seasoned a little bit, you know, because I don't know, maybe it ties into his seat being warm. You know, he doesn't want to put it on a young guy.
Well, that's an interesting point. I never thought of it like that. Obviously they're in the same state as Alabama, the best program around. It's probably got to be really tough for a young player to come in and just kind of deal with the scrutiny and the pressure and all that being in the same state. And, you know, for all the criticism I've levied against Gus Malzahn, you got to give him a lot of credit for facing Nick Saban, and you know he's beaten him twice. He's in the same state. I'm sure he hears about Alabama every single day of his life.
For sure.
So maybe you make a good point there. Maybe he needs a little bit more mature player. You know, like I said, he's still signing high school guys, but maybe he likes to go both routes just in case the high school guys can't cut it.
Exactly. Yeah, I think they're backup plans, and right now his backup plans are winning the starting position.
Okay, and then speaking of touted recruits, one story I wanted to touch on real quick, it's kind of a sad story in some sense. Trent Thompson, the former Georgia defensive tackle, he was the number one overall prospect in the 2015 recruiting class. Of course, he left school early this year after Georgia's big year, and a lot of people thought that was maybe a mistake, and I think that was proven right because Trent Thompson did not even get drafted in the latest draft. He got signed by the Browns pretty quickly as an undrafted free agent, but he's already been cut by the Browns, and they're, I think, 2 or 3 days into camp. So his pro career is already off to a rough start.
Yeah, that's sad, you know. And you don't think he was the top recruit, wasn't he?
Yeah, number one overall.
I mean, that's extremely rare. And, you know, you do hear it, you know, don't buy into the stars as much, you know, because you don't know how they're going to grow while they're in college. You know, and that's another thing, too, you know, they're ready to make money. They got to make this decision to go pro pretty quick. And, you know, Nick Saban kind of hit on that a little bit, giving these kids more time to let them know where they're going to go in the draft. And, you know, and it sounds to me like he had somebody with bad advice in his ear, because he definitely should have came back.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sometimes it's hard to know these guys' situations, but yeah, get that degree at least, and you know, you'll be far better off in the end. All right, so the main story we wanted to touch on today, just revenge games heading into the 2018 season. There's obviously the SEC, there's a lot of storylines. I think they have the best fan base, you know, all across the nation, I think, are all in the SEC. So there's a lot of bad blood, even if your team's not that good. There's still a game or two that, you know, you basically trade for all the rest of them. So we're going to go over our top 10 revenge games for the upcoming season.
And this is revenge, not necessarily a rivalry game, you know. So,
right.
I mean, some of these are, but this is games that are important and have maybe more on the line than most.
And before we get to our top 10, Shane made a good point. Honorable mention for South Carolina and Florida coming up this year. That game is in Gainesville. And
yeah,
I don't think to my knowledge, Will Muschamp has not won in Gainesville. He didn't win much when he was coaching there, but he's certainly not taken a team on the road and won in there.
That's right. He hasn't. He's been down there. He's lost one. Granted, they did win last year, but he's never – I don't know. I think that it's got a little special place in his heart because he does got the stronger team going down there. This is his best shot in a long time to beat beat Florida in Gainesville. So I think there's a lot more running on the line for him than you know, just the South Carolina Florida rivalry.
Right, and I think that could be somewhat of a statement game for Florida as well, because if they beat South Carolina, you got to imagine this is probably going to be one of the worst Florida teams under Dan Mullen. And
yeah,
if South Carolina can't beat them now in Gainesville, when are they going to do it, you know?
Exactly. I think the time is now.
All right, so let's jump into our number 10 game on this list. And this is going to be one near and dear to your heart, Shane. Tennessee versus Florida. What are your immediate thoughts when I mention that game?
That we're going to kick that ass. That we hope they're going to. You know, the thing is, just like we talked about, Florida's down. Granted, Tennessee's down. You know, we lost to a bad Florida team last year to a Hail Mary at the end. And there's been – the thing is, this has been several years in a row now that these real close games, we weren't able to come away with a victory. And – of course, as a Tennessee fan, we want to put that blame on Butch Jones, because if you look at some of his coach, his play calling, mm-hmm. you know, you can it's easy to quarterback coach and say, you know, he should have done this, he should have done that. But I think with Pruitt in there, if we can get into a ball game like that and it gets down to that situation, hopefully Pruitt can make better calls and win the game for us. So I think it's huge because we got two new coaches. You know, this is a huge rivalry for both teams. We hate each other. And it's in Neyland. It's at the start of the year. You know, this kind of sets the tempo in the East, you know. Maybe not, you know, with Georgia. Georgia's, you know, a better team. But, you know, underneath them, you know, it can be a three-way go with Florida, Tennessee, and South Carolina, maybe Kentucky, you know. So there's – that second tier is what we're playing for, and you know it has a lot riding on it.
Yeah, and you know you're a Tennessee fan if you're talking yourself into a win over Florida heading into the season. Even though, what has Florida won, like 12 out of 13, right?
I think there are one out of the last two, if I'm not mistaken. So they got a one-game winning streak. So,
so I definitely could see Tennessee winning this game, but I would certainly favor Florida just based on history. I mean, you almost got to go with Florida, but I think the key for Tennessee in that one will be getting it to the fourth quarter and for Jeremy Pruitt to, you know, show that he is a different coach. He's not going to make the huge blunders to cost the damn game. And I think as bad as Tennessee fans want this one, this is probably the game on Jeremy Pruitt's calendar that he wants the most, even though he won't admit it. I think with a win here, he gets Tennessee most likely to bowl eligibility, and he's going to buy himself a ton of goodwill with the Tennessee fan base if he can beat the Gators in his first matchup.
Oh, for sure. And then, or on the flip side of the coin, Felipe, you know, doesn't make it, and they throw in Emory during Tennessee game, and we find out that he's a stud, you know. So that's usually what happens. So crossing our fingers, but I think I think it's going to be a pretty even ball game. I think it could be ugly. I think it could be very defensive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as long as it's close, then it comes down to coaching, and we'll see who does better, Pruitt or Dan.
Okay, number 9 on our revenge game list of 2018, Arkansas, Texas A&M. And I think this is a really underrated rivalry in the SEC. Arkansas has yet to beat Texas A&M since they've come to the SEC. Chad Morris is an A&M graduate. It's not publicly out there all that much, but I think Chad Morris really wanted that A&M job. They did not even consider him because, you know, they had Jimbo Fisher locked up quietly. So I think, kind of like we mentioned with Jeremy Pruitt, you know, Chad Morris can get himself a lot of goodwill by winning this game. It could be huge for the Razorbacks, but at the same time, I think it's on Jimbo Fisher to kind of show that it's business as usual heading into this one.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Now, how long have they been playing in Dallas there?
I believe, you know, 4 or 5 years at least, and it's normally a really good, compelling game down there, and I think that adds a little bit to it. You know, some of the fans are not crazy about it. I think they would prefer a home and home.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been.
But this is all Jerry, man. This is all his doings. But I agree with you. I think a home and home would have been better than driving all the way down to Dallas, you know?
Well, yeah, and I think it's lost a little bit of its luster. I think, you know, originally it was a cool idea, and I think Arkansas was hoping that, you know, an extra game in the state of Texas would help with recruiting. But what it really does is, you know, they're not allowed to host recruits when they even come down there, so I don't know what the point is. And Arkansas, this offseason, they announced they're going to play one game every other year in Little Rock every year too. So, and this is one of those years. So that's two games they don't get to host recruits. So it's really hurting Arkansas, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, they really need all the help they can get, you know, state of Arkansas.
Yeah, that's when you're behind already, you know, every little bit helps.
For sure.
Okay, number 8 game on our revenge game list of 2018. We like this game, Kentucky and Florida. Now, obviously, Florida's won 31 games in a row in this series. That's a pretty impressive streak. But, you know, Kentucky really should have won it last year. A few years ago, I want to say 4 years ago when they were in Gainesville, they should have won that one too. There was a couple blown calls there at the end of the game. Why are you so high on this Kentucky-Florida game?
Well, just like you mentioned, they should have won last year. You know, stupid play calling. Actually, a blown call, wasn't it? They had wide open guy. And I really think that if you're looking at it, Kentucky, I think, is a little bit better this year, and Florida's a little bit worse. And so I think, as far as talent, I think that if Kentucky is going to end the streak, it's got to be this year. And I really think they can. I really do. I really think they can throw it at them. So I hate to say it, but I'm pulling. I don't hate to say it. I'm pulling for Kentucky on this one.
You love to say it. Don't lie.
I do. I love it. But they should have had it last year, and it sucks, you know, because it was at home. This one will be in Gainesville, right?
It is. Yes.
That's the only downside is, you know, if you've ever been to that stadium, it's a hostile environment, and and that may, you know, that may hurt Kentucky's chances. But I really do. I think a lot is riding on this game, and a lot of people are going to be watching it.
Yeah, and I mean, Kentucky does have a very experienced team returning. This is probably Mark Stoops' deepest and most experienced team that he's had in Lexington. Mm-hmm. And this is a week two game. It's in Gainesville. And if Kentucky somehow finds a way to get a win, it's sandwiched between games against Central Michigan and Murray State. So you got to figure they're going to win those two. But getting off to a 3-0 start would be huge for Kentucky. Similar to we mentioned with Tennessee and Florida, and I would even go South Carolina against Georgia. This game potentially sets up the entire year for Kentucky. So I think
this is week two.
This is a week two game, yeah.
Oh man, that's huge. That I think that helps Kentucky because they've got their team figured out, and Florida does it. So that who's Florida open up with?
They play Charleston, so it should be a cupcake game.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, this should be good for Kentucky. So. Yeah, I think if they're going to do it, it's going to be this year.
Yeah, so that'll be a big one. Okay, number 7 on our revenge game list of 2018. Normally, I think I would put this one much higher, but there's another game that I think the Mississippi State fan base likes better, so I can't, in good conscience, rank this one near the top. But number 7, I like the Egg Bowl, Mississippi State, Ole Miss. Obviously, Ole Miss pulled a shocker in that one last year, and a lot of that had to do with Nick Fitzgerald breaking his leg in that game. It's interesting to me how many Mississippi State fans say Dan Mullen, you know, didn't prepare his team adequately for this game. But, I mean, you got your Heisman candidate's leg falls off. I mean, who can prepare for that, you know?
Exactly, exactly. I think it's going to be a great game, man. I think Ole Miss is going to play with a chip on their shoulder, you know. And I think they're going to surprise a few teams this year. I think they're going to play – more loose than they have in the past, and I don't know. I'm kind of excited to see how their offense looks this year, especially with the new quarterback. And I think he's going to be exciting. You know, you got me convinced on him. We were talking about him last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go. I mean, if you haven't already, look up some of his highlights on YouTube. He's a machine. So, and then with all the talent he's got at his disposal. Ole Miss is probably going to be in a lot of high-scoring games, but they're probably going to have the best offense almost every time they take the field. So they're going to be in a lot of entertaining games. And obviously, you know, it's very cliche to say, but, you know, rivalry games, you can throw out the records, whatever they say. But and I would agree with that last year because I believe Ole Miss was a 14, 15-point underdog, and they came out. They were not intimidated. They had a huge lead in that game. They almost blew the game, but they went out to a big lead. So this is always a great game. So that's why it's on my list here.
Well, and it's big for recruits too. Hell, they just flipped one from Mississippi State today, didn't they?
They did. Just right before we got on the podcast here, a 4-star recruit. So, I mean, these are much like Alabama and Auburn. I mean, these fan bases hate each other and. They go at it literally every single day of the year. So this is the biggest game in the state every year. But like I was teased earlier, there's one game that I have to put above it this year. And from what I see, Mississippi State fans agree. So that's why it's not higher on this list.
I got you.
All right, so number 6 on our revenge game list, LSU and Mississippi State. And, you know, this is normally not that big of a rivalry, but Mississippi State just beat the hell out of LSU last year, 37-7. So this has got to be huge on it. You know, whenever you have a result like that, not to say that Mississippi State can't compete with LSU, but they should never be beating them by 30 points.
Yeah.
And I think LSU's got to show that this year's different. And if they don't, if they lose this one, particularly at home in an embarrassing fashion, I think that's basically going to signal the end for Coach O.
Exactly. I think that's the biggest part about this game. What week is this?
This will be it's October 10th or October 20th, so it's the eighth week of the season.
Okay, so by this time we're going to know. I mean, if Coach O is on the hot seat and he drops this game, I think you're right. I think, you know, the this may be the one, because they put a whooping on them last year, and there's just so much riding on this game for Coach O. So I think it's going to be a very emotional game.
And check this out. So leading up to this game for LSU, they play Ole Miss, which is Coach O's former school, obviously. They go to Florida, which is a huge rival. Then they come home for Georgia.
Ugh.
I mean, there's an excellent chance they've got lost two in a row, maybe three, probably not three, but one or two. Losing this Mississippi State game, and it's the game before Alabama. I mean, the wheels would just come off if they keep losing all these games, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a chance they may win them all. Don't give up on them.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are sleeping on LSU a little bit. So, but like I said, this is a game they pretty much have to win, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you there.
Okay, number five on our revenge games list for 2018, Auburn versus LSU. And obviously, Auburn blew a 20-0 lead to LSU. They were looking dominant in that game. And, you know, LSU makes a big play before half. They have a big punt return, and that pretty much broke that one open. And, you know, Auburn, I think Gus Malzahn was basically a loss away from getting fired after this one. So this one is week three of the season. So once again, you know, the winner of this game, it sets up the other team for basically what they're going to see the rest of the year.
Yeah, no, I think it's big too for, Auburn. Because they open up with who again? Washington
in Atlanta.
Okay, so they open up with them. This is like their first true test, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of shows you a little bit about what how they're going to fit in the SEC. So I think, you know, the fact they're playing so early, it should be one of the most exciting games on that week. So I'm looking forward to that one as well.
Yeah, it's already been named the SEC on CBS Game of the Week. This is always, you know, some of the games have not been close in recent years, but it's always one of my favorite rivalries in the SEC, and I think it's because they generally play early in the year, and they're two physical, very physical teams that usually have great defenses, so it's like it's a punishing game. To me, it's always the first one of the year where it's like, okay, SEC football is back. You know, it's great when football comes back, obviously, but it takes another step up when it's two SEC foes. And I think that's why I've always had a special place in my heart for this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's going to be a crazy defensive game too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to be dialed in. So, like you said, fresh, that's one thing about those teams. They play hard and where's it going to be at this year?
It's at Auburn.
Oh, okay. So that's good, too. Yeah, I think that should be interesting. I'm curious about that one.
Okay, number
Mike, I'm ready for some football, brother.
I know. I'm just like visualizing it in my head of how great it'll be. But
exactly. I love it, man. What we got next?
Number four on our revenge game list of 2018 is LSU and Texas A&M. And, you know, for people not too familiar with this series, it's quickly becoming one of the most heated in the SEC. And, you know, it's interesting, a lot of these series we talk about, it is a rivalry, but Texas A&M, since they've come into the SEC, they can't beat LSU. So it's weird how all these games kind of flip. But, you know, there's a lot of bad blood here, LSU, Texas A&M. Texas A&M obviously hired Jimbo Fisher. That's the coach LSU's wanted for a long time. A&M tried to steal LSU's defensive coordinator, Dave Aranda. They stole a position coach away from LSU. These are just two rivals that each year this series gets amped up, and I think both sides really need to win it. Particularly, you know, we keep harping on it, but Coach O, I think he really needs to show that he can beat Jimbo Fisher, because that's the guy his fan base really wants.
I don't know much about that rivalry, you know, so I probably wouldn't have had him as high on this list. But I do think, because it's played late in the season, right?
Yeah, it's becoming an annual tradition. It's the Thanksgiving game, so it's the last regular season for both teams. And, you know, I think Texas A&M always losing this game. They always get out-physicaled, and, you know, they...
Is this one of those games that's played around Thanksgiving? Or like, is it like a Friday game, or...
Yeah, it's generally the Thursday or Friday game of that week, yeah.
Okay, so there's going to be a lot of eyes on that one. So, yeah, that makes things a little bit more interesting.
And 2 years ago, LSU just really destroyed Texas A&M on Thanksgiving, and that was kind of the game that, you know, he won over the players. They in the locker room, they were chanting, keep Coach O, keep Coach O. So, I mean, this really is a really good rivalry. With Texas and Texas A&M no longer playing, I think LSU Texas A&M has probably become A&M's one of their biggest rivals in the SEC.
Oh, I like it. I like it, brother.
Okay, number three. This is no surprise to anybody, but our number three revenge game, Alabama and Auburn. And I think this game would have ranked a little bit higher if Alabama didn't win the national championship. But, of course, they did lose the Iron Bowl to Auburn last year, so there's some revenge for Alabama. And I think Auburn, knowing they beat Alabama, won the SEC West, didn't get a chance to compete in the playoff. There's revenge for Auburn as well. So what are your thoughts on this game?
Oh, without a doubt. Alabama, Nick Saban's got one date circled on his calendar, and it's this game. It's the Iron Bowl. And I tell you what, this is rivalry. I mean, this is the biggest rivalry, if you ask me, in college football. And the fact that Auburn pulled that one off last year, I think Alabama wants nothing but a revenge, because you got to think, these people live with each other. There's people that live, houses divided. You know, there's people that don't talk to each other because they're a Bama fan or an Auburn fan. I mean, this is huge for the state. And the fact, I mean, they've had, they're going to have 12 months to brag about it. You know, even though Alabama won national championship, Auburn says, you know, that's okay, but we still got you. So I think this is going to be a big game, and I think they're both going to be in great shape when they play. So it really could decide the West, you know.
Mm-hmm. It certainly did last year.
Yeah.
Okay, number two on my list. We've kind of teased this earlier, but Mississippi State is the reason why I didn't have Egg Bowl higher. This is the game that every Mississippi State fan is looking forward to this year. Florida comes to Starkville. That's the fifth week of the season. So Mississippi State, Florida at number two. What are your thoughts on that one?
Oh, come home, Dan. Oh, it's going to be awesome. It's early in the season. You know, Dan, I don't know what position the Florida Gators will be in, but I think Mississippi State will be undefeated. And I think Mississippi State's going to put a whooping on them. And I think it's going to be very emotional. So, you know, because this coach, just about every player on this team was with Dan, was recruited by Dan, mm-hmm. learned from him, you know, and they feel betrayed. And
not only Dan, but he took his entire staff, basically.
Yeah, he cleared out the shelf. And the thing is, though, the talent is still at Mississippi State. So I think they know that they can beat them. The fans know that they can beat them, and they're going to want to put a whooping on them just to prove the point that he never should have left. Even though I think, you know, the University of Florida is a better job for him, especially if he wants to compete for championships. But there's a lot of hurt fans out there, and I think it's going to show. I hope it's a night game. Oh man, I just think, and I hope game day's there, because like I said earlier, I'd love to see the signs out there and the stuff they come up with.
Well, I can promise you that if game day is not there, I think that the SEC Nation will be, because, like you said, it's, you know, this is going to be a huge game. But my only concern with it is I think sometimes fans and players can get a little too amped up for a game. And,
yeah.
I think that could lead to penalties, mistakes. And that would be my concern for Mississippi State in this one, because obviously, like, you know, everything you just said, all the players are going to be fired up. There's going to be a ton of pressure on Joe Moorhead to beat Dan Mullen, you know, to kind of get the fan base completely. I mean, they are already behind him, but, you know, if he loses this game, I think he loses a lot of goodwill.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot that goes into this one. I think, obviously, you know, I mentioned how high I am on Mississippi State and how low I am on Florida, but that doesn't really matter once they kick off, you know. So this is a game that once again, the rest of the season could be determined by the winner. So I actually expect a pretty close game here. I'll most likely be picking Mississippi State to win it, but I mean, I think it's almost anything can happen, because it's almost like that Egg Bowl last year where Mississippi State was the hot team, Ole Miss wasn't, but Ole Miss found a way to get it done. So there's going to be some serious bad blood here, and it should make for a great game.
Well, I think Mississippi's going to run away with it, and if Tay Bang has anything to do with it, Florida won't have a roster when they get there.
That's an excellent point. We'll have to see. We'll have to see if Tay Bang is successful in bringing down the Gator program. That seems to be his mission at this point. Okay, number one, revenge game of the year, and this is not even on the schedule, but I think it will be Georgia against Alabama in the SEC championship game, 2nd and 26. I can't imagine how many times Kirby Smart and everyone on that Georgia team has heard that. How they're probably tired of hearing about Tua. I think this is the game. I don't think there's really any threat to Georgia in the East this year, so I think they know they're going to get to the SEC championship game. I think there's a very low percentage that it's anyone but Alabama that they face, and I think they know that. And I think they're going to fight like hell to win over Alabama if they see them again.
For sure. I think Georgia wins the East without a doubt. And the thing about Alabama, though, is do they make it through the West without losing? Now, they may lose one. They may make it into the SEC championship game, which I really think they're going to do. But if Georgia beats them, you know, Alabama may not make a playoff, you know. So there's going to be a lot riding on that SEC championship game. And I definitely see those two teams in it, you know. Of course, the season hasn't started, but you know, just from what I've seen, you know, that's who we're going to see, in my opinion, and it's going to be a hell of a ball game. It's a repeat of the national championship, so definitely. And Georgia is going to be, they're not going to leave anything off the field, you know. They're going to bring it. So
yeah, no, I mean, I'm still somewhat surprised that we saw two SEC teams in the playoff. I didn't think we'd ever really see two teams from the same conference make it into the 4-team playoff.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely don't think it's going to happen 2 years in a row. I think you're exactly right. I think this game is going to be for the right to go to the playoff.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, this could basically be the national championship. It's not to say that whoever wins this will win the national championship, but you know, I think that's going to be the mindset going into it. And I think it could make for an outstanding SEC championship game, which we're due for, because it seems far more often than not, the SEC championship game is just a non-competitive game. And I think a lot of that has to do with the SEC East. But now that Georgia's back on the rise, I think we're going to start seeing a lot more competitive SEC title games.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. Is there any other games that we didn't mention that you thought about putting in there?
Well, yeah, a big one was South Carolina and Georgia.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just don't think, you know, as much as that game is circled on the calendar for South Carolina, I'm sure, I just don't even think that Georgia considers that a rivalry.
Right.
You know, I think they're more concerned about Auburn and Florida and, at this point, Alabama. And based on the damn Georgia fans on Twitter, they hate Tennessee more than just about any of them for whatever reason. I guess losing to Butch Jones twice will burn your ass for 10 years,
right.
I guess. But it just doesn't seem to me that like Georgia is at all concerned about South Carolina. So I don't really consider that a revenge game.
Yeah, I do. I am kind of interested in the LSU Florida game.
Oh shit! Yeah, that would have been a good one to include.
Yeah, yeah. I think that one's. Going to be a huge game, huge rivalry. They hate each other, and I don't know. You know, coming off the homecoming game, and then I don't know. This thing's kind of snowballed in the home and homes with the hurricane and stuff. So I think there'd be a lot riding on that game as well.
Yeah, and the away team has won the last two in the series, so it's hard to even tell what's going to happen in these games. But yeah, you're right. This is. You know, this is quickly turning into one of the SEC's best rivalry, and you know, thankfully they get to play every year. We get to watch it go on the field, unlike Texas and Texas A&M, where they just keep just keep it on Twitter, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I love it. And one other honorable mention, Dooley coming back to Neyland.
Who we've predicted at that point will be interim head coach. If he's interim head coach, I think that game makes the top five of this list.
Exactly. I hope so.
All right, Shane, we went a little long, so I think that'll do it. Just one thing before we go out, I'm just going to remind you, if you see Tay Bang coming, walking down the street, turn around and go the other direction, all right?
That's right. No, I'll just go get my assault, what do they got, BB guns or something? I'll just go get that, and I'll take care of it myself.
All right, sounds good.
All right, brother, go Vols.